Welcome to Misdone Needs More Games, where we create the latest and greatest market-ready board games straight from our brains into your household. I'm your co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
And I'm your other co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
Here we are. We did it.
Episode 10.
Number 10. The double digits. We can never go back now.
Ooh, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. I didn't think we'd actually make it this far, but this is a good job to you.
Well, good job to you. Good job, us.
Good job all around.
Good job, team. Good job, Patchpotch. Good job, Miss Dunn. Good job, Pizza. Good job, Shackles. Good job, Fast and the Furious. Just trying to make more references back.
Good job, Holidays.
Good job, Holidays. You know.
Good job to Clowns.
Good job. No good job to Clowns. No good job to Clowns.
They deserve a good job at some point. I don't think anyone actually... Do you think after some, like, a clown performs at, like, your kid's birthday, anyone has gone up and been like, hey, good job. Like, good work. I think we should do that more often.
It's funny that you say that because in my mind, and granted, I mean, yeah, I'm just not a huge fan of clowns, but I'm sorry, clowns out there. I'm just not a fan. I'll just put it plain and simple. But... what I was going to say is that I think that's maybe doesn't happen, and not because they are not appreciated for their craft when it is, you know, paid for and, you know, they show up. But I think most of the time, clowns or performers of that, you know, area, they usually have like a tumbling away where they just leave and, you know, it's like silly and fun and funny and they don't really get like a proper thank you or like a, you know, curtain close moment.
You think they just exit and that's it?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That's what I have pictured in my head. You know, like they do, they're at a birthday party. They do some jokes. They do some silly things. They sing happy birthday and then they tell like a joke and just like cartwheel away.
So you're saying like if you're a clown that's worth your salt, then you know a good clown knows when to leave.
Yeah.
And they just exit.
Yes.
Hmm. I don't know if that's true for all clowns, but maybe that should be the standard.
That's just what I have pictured in my mind, because nothing says clown and fun and silly than, like, you know, like, tumbling away. Like, imagine you're a kid and, like, you know, the clown, like, goes tumbling away and you're like, oh, how whimsical and fun. And then the alternative is the clown just stops and talks to your parents like, hey, yeah, so you can send a check to 454, Exit Boulevard. I know it's a weird name, but that's just what it's called. And then he goes, okay, bye, kids, and then leaves.
Well, yeah, you know, the clown, it is a business, so I imagine it's the second one, the one that you just said, you know, afterwards. You gotta, you know, tie up all loose ends of clowning.
But I think if you're there performing, you've gotten the payment already. You know what I mean?
Well, probably, yeah. I mean, that's true. So the clown just kind of, like, gets in its clown car and drives off.
Yeah, because you don't want to show up and start clowning and then only to learn. Because I bet clowns have been burned in the past, you know, where they show up and they're doing their thing. And then, like, you know, whoever hired them is just like, oh, hey, actually, you know, we only have 20 bucks. Do you want that? And then, you know, it's like, well, yeah, I want the 20 bucks. But,
well, yeah, I'm not saying that they should get their payment up. Yeah, they should definitely get their payment up front. Like, any good clown would do that as well, but
I guess I'm just saying there's a certain theatrics in an exit that, like, I feel like would get kind of squashed if you just came back and was like, okay, hey, like, you know, thanks for having me.
I think they should be allowed, much like how, you know, wedding photographers get to hang out and eat dinner and stuff like that. I think clowns should be allowed to do that as well. Like, have an extra hot dog for the party for the clown to eat. Because that's just rude. It's like when you also get movers and you don't offer them anything to drink, you know? They're there doing you, like, some work. So, like, pay some respect to the clown, you know?
I'm not saying that they can't participate in the event. I am simply saying that upon exit, I think some kind of playful, you know, fun, whimsical, just, you know, tumbling away and you know, just, like, not being seen, kind of a mythos to them is a little.
So they're only allowed to come back once the makeup is off. Once they're out of their clown outfit, then they're allowed to rejoin the party.
Yes, and you better make sure that you're not cartwheeling when you come back in, or else that might raise suspicions.
Yeah, he's like, hey, who's that normal clothes person coming in? Oh, he still has his red nose on. It's the clown.
No.
Shoot.
It's like, spoiler alert. Well, yeah, I'm going to say, I'm doing it. I'm taking a stance here, but it's like when you figure out that Santa isn't real, and, you know, poor kids figuring out that clowns aren't real when, you know, Uncle Fred comes tumbling back in. He's like, oh no, it was Uncle Fred all along.
Yeah, that's true. Do you remember there was one birthday I kind of remember. It was actually when we lived in Virginia that I had Darth Vader show up to the party.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone was there except for Dad. And I was like, whoa, where's Dad? He's gonna miss meeting Darth Vader. And then like Darth Vader left. And then my dad came, well, our dad came back, and it was just like, Dad, you just missed him. Did you see Darth Vader, like, leaving in his car or his, like, Death Star?
Leaving in his
He must have parked it outside. Like, you must have just missed him.
You probably just passed him. Didn't even realize it was Darth Vader. He probably gets it all the time.
How does Darth Vader leave a party?
Yeah. See, and that's what I'm saying. Imagine if you had seen Darth Vader then, like, conversing and being, like, thanked by, you know, mom or, you know, other parents or whatever, and like casually talking, you'd be like, wait, does Darth Vader know mom? Like,
whoa, I saw Darth Vader kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe.
I saw Darth Vader kissing Santa Claus, and then he choked him out with his force grip.
Wasn't a very good kisser.
And it's talking about Santa. Ooh, plot twist.
Ooh, Santa's force choking. Oh, Santa's a Jedi. Oh.
Ooh, man.
Santa versus Darth Vader. Let's put that on the back burner for a future game.
That's a good Christmas one.
Mm-hmm.
Santa versus Darth
Vader. We're going to go back and read that, like, a month later and be like, what were we thinking? Like, what did we do? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Maybe Santa does exist in the Star Wars universe. That's where he is. He's an alien. Well, that's how he does it.
They have Life Day. You know, they have their own version of Christmas. That's true. You know, Life Day?
Yeah, of course. The classic Star Wars movie.
it was a Christmas special. I don't even know if it was a movie.
I think it was like a TV movie, meaning that like total runtime was like 45 minutes, maybe like an hour and some change.
I honestly haven't gotten all the way through it. I think I might have gotten like 15 minutes into it and just like could not bear to see any more Life Day.
I honestly think I was the exact same.
Yeah, it's hard to watch. But yeah, do you think Santa shows up in Life Day? I'll have to go back and rewatch it, but that'd be kind of amazing if you did.
Man, yeah, what if we're just, maybe this is how Life Day happened, you know, it just kind of just was discussed exactly like this, like, man, what if Santa was a Jedi? Be like, oh man,
he'd
probably show up and be pretty sweet.
Probably kick some Vader butt.
Yeah. The Wookiee scene is the weirdest thing, because it's just like...
It's like all Wookiee scenes.
No, but the part where it's like just like 5 straight minutes of Kashikian, is I guess what Wookiees are called, but just them like doing the Chewbacca noise back and forth to each other.
Yeah.
There's no subtitles. There's no like hint as to what they are saying. You can kind of get it from body language, but it's just 5 minutes of just...
Yeah, that's like most of the Life Day show. That's why I had to like turn it off.
Yeah, it's wild how that got made, and someone said that's perfect.
Yeah, don't like, touch it. This is don't touch this. George Lucas said, sure, looks good to me.
Yeah, well, you know,
well, should we get into some games?
Oh yeah, man, maybe we're spiking
maybe, yeah, we're on
audio.
A roll with Life Day. This is a new podcast now. Every 10 episodes we already become a new podcast.
No, it's the same podcast, but every 10 episodes we rehash Life Day. talk about how to revamp
we
it.
Just, oh my gosh, Life Day.
Yeah. Be a good one.
Darth Vader celebrates Death Day. Okay, anyways. let's get into some games.
Okay. So yeah, so this is actually one that I was brewing on, and maybe it's because I have the Keanu fever, or at least
I didn't know you were sick.
I got a sickness, and the only
cure got a sickness is
Keanu.
The only cure is the Matrix.
I just respect him. I think he's a good actor, and I've heard he's a fantastic person. Out of all the articles that I've ever read about him,
I've heard those things too.
So, my idea or thought was and this is only honestly just as a point of reference. You don't have to go with it in terms of the overall flavor, but a Bill and Ted's-esque Silicon Valley startup. So it's various historical figures in that regard being drug forward in time to modern day Silicon Valley, you know, the big tech companies, and they're trying to get a startup. And maybe, you know what, even saying it now, maybe it doesn't have to be Silicon Valley. Maybe they are just like being like, I don't know, like maybe Napoleon wants to start a taco truck, or if it's French, he wants to start a crepe truck. And it's like kind of like a startup, quote unquote, but it doesn't have to be tech themed, is I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. What I'm picturing already, so it's not really Bill and Ted related then. That part's not the important part, is what you're saying.
Yes, the important part is just the frame of reference of, I mean, maybe it's part of the game. Maybe there is like a round where you kind of go back in time and you get your historical figure, or you just play as various historical figures and just start just being like, okay, I'm gonna make this my startup based off of my character that I am, and then going from there.
Well, so okay, it sounds like then, excuse me, it sounds like what we should be doing instead, it's like Sid Meier's Civilization, where you pick your leader but instead of leading a nation, you start a business, or you start a, I don't know, some sort of tech company.
Yes, that is actually the perfect.
If we can get Sid Meier's on board,
yeah,
then we could actually stick Sid Meier's tech bonanza, something like that.
Sid Meier's tech. No, I was trying to think of a play on words of civilization, but we'll get it later. But yeah, I don't know. That's a much more accurate representation of what I was thinking.
Okay.
And again, I the more I think about it, I think for the flavor of this game, I don't like the idea of having to stick with just like a tech company. It's more of just like a startup, you know. I mean, of course there are startups that are tech oriented, of developing an app, or you know, making some kind of service that was no longer there and it's alongside an app, whatever it is. But like, just to think right off the bat, like maybe you play as kind of a historical figure of, you know, strength, or a famous warrior like Genghis Khan, and
yeah,
you know, I mean, Genghis Khan in present times wouldn't start a tech startup. You know what, Genghis Khan would probably start a dating site, to be quite honest.
I can see Genghis Khan definitely starting a dating app for sure, because we all got a little bit of Genghis Khan in us somewhere.
This is true.
But I could also see him for some reason starting like a Top Golf company.
Yeah. Like,
it's like Genghis Khan's like axe throwing. But also I kind of like the idea of Genghis Khan also running something that's much like just a driving range. And that's his whole shtick.
Maybe that would be his thing. Maybe that'd be Genghis Khan's, or at least like that'd be like a potential thing. That would, it'd be like axe throwing dating. Dating site where you go on dates at various weaponry ranges. I mean, I can't say that I know that era's weaponry. I imagine lots of like
glaives. Well, this is modern times, you know. This is
true, that is true.
This isn't today's time, but yeah, it's why not combine all these businesses into one? Why not have like the most multifaceted business ever? Why not go to a Top Golf, but also bring your laundry so you can get it washed while you are top golfing?
Ooh,
why doesn't Top Golf do that right now?
Yeah, and if it was Genghis Khan's hatchet throwing dating spot, it'd be called like X Marks the Kiss.
Yeah, That's pretty, yeah. Genghis Khan's hatchet throwing kissing booth.
Wow,
that's a pretty good. I wish that was the title for this whole thing.
We could just hard pivot and make a Genghis Khan game.
this is only, we went from what if multiple Sid Meier's, like multiple people were running a business, to what if just Genghis Khan was running a business? What would Genghis Khan do?
Be on the lookout for those shirts. WWGKD. What would mm-hmm. Genghis Khan do?
What business would Genghis Khan run?
Yeah, be on the lookout. Yeah, that, in our merch store. That
or get your wristband.
Yeah, get your Khan on.
Get your Khan. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. So. Just also small thought, if we had this as like a big expo, it would be the Con.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, enough tangents.
So this is actually kind of what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that this board game, because we've done like economy driven games, we've done you know, lots of like kind of like buy and sell, like building things. I think this game, especially with the amount of, you know, potentially famous historical figures and differences or whatever, maybe this honestly might be a little bit of a learning game for people.
Ooh, but educational.
Yeah, in it are, you know, various stacks of historical figures with their biographies, a little bit of background and detail and stuff. This game, there's no dice, no cards, or at least no, like, you know, cards with symbols and point values and stuff on it. It's literally you just trying to come up with a name, come up with a theme, like write it down or something like that. And then maybe there are like voting cards of like what certain people get, but it's almost you trying to like elevator pitch, come up with a startup on the spot. And then maybe at that point there are kind of like augmenter cards that kind of help give you inspiration, or you know, you can like throw at someone, like maybe you have Genghis Khan and you're like dead set on this Topgolf hatchet throwing dating area, but then I throw like, oh, you have to include like medicine in your startup, and it's like, oh, okay, it's like now it's a it's a syringe throwing dating thing where you gotta
throw it straight to the patient's arm.
Exactly.
And give him a kiss.
Oh yeah.
Is this okay? So this is like an improv-ish kind of, like,
yeah,
game than itself. Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to lead us down a route of a different kind of game, or at least different mechanics is, I guess, what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, no, I'm totally fine with that. Look, I'm just trying to keep up with all the ideas being thrown around here. So, and the historical leader that you have, then you would ideally get more votes or like points or however it's things are being tracked if you include some of their history with it, which is why you had said that you include like a little factoid sheet about them, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I could be on board with that. And like then make the argument as to why this particular leader would be better at doing X, Y, and Z. Or what if there was another, okay, what if there was a factor like this? Instead of you coming up with your company then, okay, all right, hold on. Instead of you coming up with a company that you want to run, everyone writes down current companies that there are. And so if I were to write like Topgolf and you were to write like Laundromat, and then we had a few other friends with us, and then you were to write a bunch of other things, we like put them all in a bowl. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you kind of have to pick them out and choose which ones that would work best for your leader, and then make the argument. So you don't really have any control about what everyone's writing in there. And it's more so like you write down like some prompts and stuff like that. And then mm-hmm. after that, you have to make the argument being like, okay, I think actually Genghis Khan would be good at running a Topgolf because of like X, Y, and Z reasons. Do you follow what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah. Get you.
Yeah. It's just like not a way where like you have to come up with a company. It's like the first step is to literally just like write as many companies down and put them all in a bowl, like Microsoft or something like that. And it's like, I've got Gandhi, like he probably wouldn't be that good at running Microsoft.
So you're imagining like the round of play is that everybody writes down company names or like company like types, like whether it be like restaurant, bar, you know, pop-up shop or, you know,
or like real companies, like actual spaces.
No, I know. What I'm saying is that it could be both, like, you know, proper noun companies or just regular noun, just like types of companies. Is that true? Or is that what you're imagining?
I mean, I'm saying that you could do either or. I'm saying that both of those things can be in there. Like, if you don't, right, like, know any specific laundromats off the top of your head, you can just put laundromat. But also, if you want to get specific and say, like, this person's going to be running Elon Musk's flamethrower company.
Gotcha.
You know, you could be specific as well.
Gotcha. Okay. So, you write all those and you throw those in, and then maybe everyone just randomly kind of picks someone. Everyone randomly gets a historical figure, and then how do you divvy out the company things? Do you just kind of keep picking until one, like, lands for you, or what do you think?
No, I'm going to say, like, you get, like, a hand of, like, three, or, like, depending on how many people are playing, you get a hand of three, and then, like, from the three that you have, you pick one of those up and be like, okay, I'm going to actually take this one here. I'm going to pick Elon Musk's flamethrower company. I think Genghis Khan would be awesome at running that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have that, and you put the other two back in the bowl. And then, like, next round goes around, you have to, like, pick another one or something like that. And then it's like, now it's on, he's running Elon Musk's flamethrower company and a laundromat. And then you have to, like, make the argument on, like, how they would be able to, like,
combine those services.
Yeah, basically combine those services using the knowledge that you have of, you know, the historical figure's life.
Okay. Okay.
Have you ever played the game Super Fight?
I don't think so. No.
It's basically kind of the same thing where, I mean, it's a little bit different. There's already pre-written cards, but basically the point of Super Fight is that, well, you can play it in multiple ways. The one way that I'll explain it is that you go around and one person is the judge, and the judge says the villain of today is, like, whatever cards that they have in their hand, and then they can be, like, invisible, like, army of ants or something like that. Then everyone else has, like, a bunch of wacky, like, superpowers in their hands, and they can only play, like, one or two of them down. I think it's two, or maybe even three. But they say, like, I've got, like, a man with, like, a hole in his chest who can also shoot laser beams. And then basically from there, the point of the game is that everyone goes around and argues why they'd be able to beat the judge's opponent, and then the judge then picks who would win, and then you kind of rotate from there. The next person who sits next to him, much like apples to apples, is the judge of it. You know, they say, all right, this villain is going to be like this wacky combination. Then everyone else does the same thing again, where they try to put down cards that are in their hand to try to make a superhero who would be able to best fight this thing that the person has put out.
Gotcha. Okay. So I really like the judging thing, because I was already kind of thinking something like that, but I think you helped push it over the goal line, I guess. But what about this?
Uh-huh.
You all write company names in, you know, whatever, in a hat, bowl, whatever, and then there are various, yeah, historical figures. Whoever the judge is, you know, flips the, or maybe they even have a couple of historical figures in their hand, and then when they, like you said, when they pick a company, they get to pick which one they think would work best. So let's say I have Gandhi, Genghis Khan, and Napoleon in my hand, and I pick up, you know, lamp maker or like a lamp making company or lampshade making company. It's a startup all about making recycled lampshades or whatever. People can just kind of do that. So I say, oh, okay, I think Gandhi would be good at this one. And I posit to everybody else playing. I say, okay, I want you to come up pitch me Gandhi lamp shade maker company, and then one at a time everyone kind of gives their pitch, or potentially even you have like a little bit of time to like write a couple of like, you know, notations very quickly. You get to try and even like name your company, whatever you want to try and do to like convince a person, and then you can hand them in, and so it's anonymous about what it is, and maybe there is like discussion too, so it would be less anonymous than this. I don't know. I guess maybe that part wouldn't really work as well, because it'd be hard to kind of give an entire pitch on just a piece of paper or to expect someone to do that in like a minute. So again, just kind of trying to keep it unbiased. Everyone goes around and gives their proposed companies, and then the judge picks whoever won it, and then they get the Gandhi lampshade maker cards.
Okay. So it's just like one person then going around. So is the judge then providing the historical character or like the comp, or they're providing both is what you're saying.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I like your way better. I think the judge picks a company out of the hat and they just show it. They're just like, this is what it is. And then everyone has a certain amount of cards in their hand or whatever of different historical figures. And then you at one time go, I think Gandhi would be a great lampshade maker person because he understands peace and harmony. And we all know how hectic lampshade making can be.
And yeah, just, the trials and tribulations of making a lampshade.
Yeah, and he would bring a level of calm-headedness unknownst in the lampshade making industry.
Really ahead of the pack. Yeah, it's true. And his time as a lawyer might have helped him make a lampshade. True.
Yes. Just as cyclical as being a sign of peace, thus is the lampshade.
Yes.
So yeah,
okay. And you could also do it like the other way around as well. You could also be like, I have Abraham Lincoln. Everyone show me the companies that you think that Abraham Lincoln would be best at running.
Which do you think is more fun? Do you think it's more fun to be the one when you're the judge, you show the historical figure and then everyone kind of gets to come up with their company? Or do you think you showing the company and then people having to come up with historical figures?
I'm saying we could just, like, this could be just, like, two ways to play the game. Like, ooh, you could just have, like, both of the options in there.
Perfect. Okay,
and then if you want to have, like, extra difficulty, you can say, like, I've got, now everyone has to provide, the judge now provides two companies that are combined into one, and you have to provide two business partners that are going into business together. Catherine the Great and Winston Churchill. Working together at a BW3s and glass blowing.
Shoeshine glass blowing.
And BW3s.
I'm just imagining that now. Imagine a shoe shiner blowing into like a glass or like a tube trying to make like a piece of glass at the same time.
Yeah. It's difficult. It's hard work. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, you could do either one. Basically, this game is just a box of white pieces of paper and a bunch of historical figures with facts about them. A bunch of
short brochures.
Yeah. You want to do a full brochure? Every single one gets like a three-leaf pamphlet?
No. Not an entire three-leaf pamphlet, but, you know, just like a quick, maybe, you know, their time frame, a little bit about their significance and what they did, and then kind of like a nice little pros and cons section.
Pros, yeah. Man, and then you could even like go into routes of like, imagine like playing this game except like it's anime characters. Like, there's a lot of niches that you could do.
Oh, man.
Like which anime character do you think would be good at running a business? And then we just have like a whole box set of like, you know, everyone's favorite Narutos and Gokus.
Your favorite Narutos.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of avenues. This is definitely what we're talking about is the Sid Meier's civilization. But then you can have the anime box. You could have a Harry Potter box because people seem to like that. Disney box, you know, for the kids.
Just to kind of jump a little bit, let me throw this out there for naming. But you know how there's the show Undercover Boss. This would be like, Undiscovered Boss or like
Undiscovered Boss.
Because they either, you know, haven't done this before and it's new to their arena, obviously, or
that's such a good name.
Oh, thank you. Well, there we go. Yeah. Got in one.
Undiscovered Boss. That's pretty good.
Because to your point, we could run it in various avenues, in various forms of, I mean, heck, we could combo with Star Wars if Disney was willing to let us touch that IP.
Well, you know, if we'd already had the Disney one, yeah, I mean, I was already thinking like, how would Goofy be running a good business and things like that? Like, yeah, if they like let us throw it in there for sure.
Look, come on down to Goofy's hatchet throwing.
Yeah, I would be very scared of Goofy's hatchet throwing business.
That would tank immediately.
I don't know what actually Goofy did, and I mean, he definitely is he's a family man. He's got some job of some kind. Is Pete his boss or something, or like?
I think Pete, I think Pete has been his boss, but I don't know if it's like a, if that's like a consistent historical thing. I mean, we played Goof Troop growing up, and Pete was a pirate, and I don't think he was his boss.
Well, no, so looks like somebody has never beaten Goof Troop.
Oh, shoot.
It's basically, Pete was mistaken for another pirate by the name of Pete, and they thought that, like, he was their captain. But then when they captured him, or, like, brought him back to the boat, they realized that he wasn't their captain, so then they just captured him instead. Oh. And Goofy went to go save. But there is a pirate who looks like Pete that I think also goes by Captain Pete, but that is not their neighbor Pete.
And you fight him, right?
Yeah, you fight him. Yeah, you fight the evil Pete, but there's two distinct Petes. You save the other one from Pirate Pete.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah. Why don't you sit down and play it?
Touch up on your Goof Troop knowledge, you fool.
You big idiot. Anyways, yeah, that's how that one went. I don't know exactly. I feel like Goofy's like a fisherman or something. I don't really know what his job is.
I think he's held lots of titles. So I mean,
You think he's like, oh, I see. You know, he's just, oh, maybe he is really good at running a business. He's got his hands in everything.
Yeah, but I think the turnover rate for Goofy kind of shows that he's not good at anything. He just can't stick to a career.
He can't hold on to a job. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I mean, in Kingdom Hearts, he's a knight, so at least he can hold on to that pretty good.
That's true. And he is pretty sweet in Kingdom Hearts.
He's pretty good at that.
Yeah,
we'll never know, I guess. I'm not going to even look this up. I started and then I realized that the Goofy's Wikipedia page is like a mile long, and I'm not going to read all this.
Get at us with companies that you think Goofy would be good at running.
Please.
Yeah.
I would really like to
get
know.
To the bottom of this.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll make the top contender a t-shirt.
Maybe we'll put a big maybe on that.
I was gonna say they get promptly sued by Disney.
Yeah, we'll. yeah, but we can probably still do Con, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if there's like anyone who owns the rights of Genghis Khan.
Oh wait, are you saying Con like Genghis Khan convention?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
We can probably still do
Con,
that.
All the Con heads out there.
Yeah. Well, cool. What did you say the name was? Undiscovered Boss?
Yeah, Undiscovered Boss.
Okay, I like that name. That's a good name.
I think it's a reference, but I don't think we'll get hit by the Undercover Boss people.
I don't think so. I don't even know if that show still runs anymore, to be honest.
Yeah, but I think, was it on Fox or ABC or something? So, like, you know, if they found us, they might not be so happy.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's... Look, Undercover and Undiscovered is two completely different things.
You know what? I bet when this game comes out, it's going to be a nice little boost to the Undercover Boss YouTube clips out there.
Yeah,
for
you're
when
welcome.
There was the big reveal. Yeah, you're welcome. Got your little bump in...
Honestly,
exposure.
I think anyone who's clipping Undercover Boss things, it's probably not Fox. So it's like they probably aren't seeing any of the revenue out of that anyways.
Crap.
So, you know, it's whatever. Yeah. So where do we go from here then? What's next on the docket?
So okay, so one final thing that I think we should kind of touch on the game is like how like scoring works. I mean, clearly, you know, whoever gets the leader, whoever submits the leader that is right, or whoever submits the company that is right for the prompt, or the judge decides right for the prompt, gets, you know, the card or point or whatever. But I'm thinking that potentially you could even do like a round two where you go head to head fleshing out the rest of your company that you've pitched, or at least the ones that you have won. And, you know, round two can kind of take whenever. It doesn't have to be that everyone gets to be the judge once because, I mean, who knows? Maybe someone just knocks it out of the park every single time and has multiple historical figure company combos to choose from. But then I think there should be a, you know, cut above the rest kind of combination that people are all on board for. Or maybe,
Kind of like that, actually. Yeah, wait, so what you're saying... Yeah, so, okay, the companies that you win, then, and the owners, then there's, like, a second round to it where you have to, like, then play a different game with it, with the leaders and the companies that have been created.
Right, you have to put the finishing polish on it, or I guess kind of like, you know, the first round is kind of just coming up with the bone structure of this company, and then the second round is slapping on the meat and flesh and really trying to like propose like a genuine thing, and hopefully by then too you've got a title for your strongest contender. My only problem is that I don't know who would be the judge, because I assume everyone would be kind of biased towards their own company that they came up with.
Well, but we could say that you can vote for any, because what if then you just took that and did like a whole pitch, like everyone just kind of brainstormed and did like a gigantic, like a business pitch for it. That could be like 5 minutes long, you know, you could do like a really long one. And then everyone gets to vote on which one they like, and you do it kind of like first, second, third, and you award different tokens, but you can't vote on your own.
Smart. That's a good way to do it. Cause then, yeah, you could kind of tally up that, like, I mean, first place would be 3 points, second place 2 points, third place 1 point, and then whoever gets whatever point allocation. And then maybe if there's a tie between, you know, a couple of different companies, you can have a tiebreaker round where everyone just kind of gives like their last like 30-second pitch on their head companies. Head to head, and then whoever isn't in the tiebreaker round, you know, they can kind of come together and talk about who they think won.
Right. Yep. Okay.
Sweet. This actually sounds pretty sweet. This sounds like a good kind of tight game. Very improv-y, but you know, the rule structure makes sense to me and sounds good.
Easy peasy, yeah. It's not too complicated, I suppose.
Yeah. Get at us, other board game companies. Easy peasy.
Yeah, we're too good at our jobs.
Yeah. Slam dunk. And we waste the first 10 minutes of this episode is us talking about Star Wars Christmas and clowns. So how about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then I think just the crucial most important part of all of our games of who goes first.
It's probably whoever played Sid Meier's Civilization or whoever last read a history book.
So basically it's either if you played a video game or you can give a convincing history report.
Yeah, let's do that. Everyone should probably bring in like some sort of like a report that they did, and not from like copied and pasted from Wikipedia. Like, we'll know. Me specifically, I will know.
Here it is. Yeah, you bring a report, and you can either report on maybe an undiscovered historical figure or an undiscovered company in the past, or I guess one that could even be around now. And whoever, again, by a panel of voting, you get to vote on which one is the most interesting to, like, you know, use or read about or whatever. And then that either figure or company is automatically put in the drawing pot.
That's perfect. I was about to suggest that if you weren't, but that's a really good idea. Yeah, it's like you got to take a look through all of the different cards and figure out who's there and who's not, and then bring to the table another one. Someone that's you know, has a rich tapestry of history that no one really has known about, and then you bring that to the game, and then if everyone decides that that's a really interesting person, then it gets added to the game itself, and then it's there forever, at least in your box.
I think though people can bring either a very interesting historical figure or a very interesting company
or an interesting company. I agree. Yeah.
And then again, same premise, added to the box. Bing, bang, boom.
It's in there forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
Man, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm.
And then I assume they're the judge first, or maybe ooh, how about this? Maybe then that person gets to decide who gets to go first.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if they want to pick it for themselves, they can definitely do that if they want to judge. But if they also like want to have someone else judge just so that they get an opportunity first, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. This is a good one.
Yeah, this was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm just saying. I mean, I would play this game. It doesn't sound like it'd be too hard to even like make. You know.
Yeah, we don't even need the production team for this one. We'll actually take this one ourselves, Miss Dunn.
Just throw a bunch of 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper in a box, a pencil.
Give me a few artists to draw the historical figures out.
Yeah. Just a couple of quick, you know, search. Oh, man. You know what? Actually, this game does require a lot of R&D because we're going to need a lot. We're going to need a lot of historians here, stat.
Yeah, you know, but I could figure out just like Google like importantpeople.com. You know, I'm sure that's a place.
Maybe that actually would honestly kind of reinforce the who goes first rule. The box only comes with like 10 historical figures. And then,
no, we gotta have more than that. Gotta have all the big ones.
The big ones. Your George Washingtons.
Yeah.
Your big Mandelas.
George. Uh-huh.
Your Ivan the Terribles.
Yeah. Those
trying to think of figures all over.
And these, just to clarify, they should be historical figures that are dead. If you're adding something to it, we don't want anyone that's alive.
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Because then they'll get all pompous and be like, look at me, I'm in a board game.
Yeah.
And we don't want
that. Yeah, we don't want that. I don't want that kind of...
Don't put Elon Musk in our game. Don't do it.
He's not even a leader.
Yeah. Get him out of here.
Get him out of here. Get your Prince Charles out of here. Oh, wait. What about the one that just passed, actually? Who's that one?
Prince something.
Is it Henry? I forget.
I don't know.
But he can be in the game. For sure.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. Happy 10th episode, and to 10 more. And then hopefully 10 more after that.
And then it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Keep on tens. Keep on tenning on. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a closer and inspire myself. But okay. Again, thank you for listening. Please, 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 we really appreciate you being here. But any word of mouth, you could tell your friends about us, get them to listen, you know, tell them about all our wacky ideas, and maybe they'll be inspired to create board games on their own, because that's what this is all about, community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's about, I mean, the most that I've got as well. We can plug our Twitters and our emails here.
Yeah.
And why don't you do that? Because you always do that part, and I feel like you're better at it than I am. I've got a good closer, though.
Ooh, okay, perfect. I'll let you. But yes, so our handle on Twitter is at PatchPotchR&D, and for any professional inquiries, we are at PatchPotchLLC@gmail.com. To spell that out, it is PatchPotch. Come join the R&D team, tweet us your board game ideas, and who knows, maybe we'll pick yours and make an episode about it.
I would love to pick yours, specifically you listening. I would love to do that. So
you know who you are.
You know it. Thank you, though.
You know it. All right, close it out.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. I just want to wish everyone a happy 10 episodes and a very merry life day. So, see ya next 10 episodes.
See you next time.